welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Then he got us up this morning and got us over here to the church, gave us a parking space. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But as he said, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord, amen. Because for some of us, it might be our last chance. So we should act up like it's our last chance, you know? And say, Lord, if I don't get another chance to praise you with my brothers and sisters, I'm going to praise you today. Hallelujah. Because you don't know like I know what he done for me. Oh, hallelujah. And can't nobody, 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 nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And if they could, they wouldn't. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Saved our souls. Put us in church. Here it is, a holiday weekend, and we in church. Ain't that something? Look at God. Oh, hallelujah for this great salvation. I bless the Lord today. Give him honor. Give him glory. Because he has kept me alive. Oh, hallelujah. And allowed me to be here to serve him one more time. You know, it didn't have to be so, y'all. It didn't have to be so. Praise Jesus. As Minister Lingam already pointed out, the revival was truly a revival. And if you weren't able to attend, I would encourage you to get a copy of each message and sit and listen to it more than one time. Because there was way too much in every message to try to write all the notes. I know they said Sister Wendy was back there writing them. But you have to get it because God was sending that word to us as a church. Amen. Praise Jesus. Today is Youth Sunday. Amen. 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 Come on, y'all. Praise him like you remember you used to be a youth. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord for there's some youth and Redeemer. Oh, amen. Come on now. That means God is keeping us alive. And as I remember hearing our former pastor say years ago, every time you hear a baby cry, don't get annoyed. Just know that the church is growing. Oh, amen. Amen. As I sat with the Lord seeking what he would have me to preach today, I pondered just what age range youth would encompass. So I went to Google, one of my good friends, and learned how the world determines that age range. The United Nations, and I quote, for statistical consistency across regions, defines youth as those persons between the ages of 15 and 24 years, without prejudice to other definitions by other member states. The church, however, uses a variety of age breakdowns for youth. It all depends on which church you look at. Biblically, youth goes well into the 30s. Come on, all y'all in the 30s, say hallelujah. For our purposes today, we will just consider all young people to be in the category of youth. Of course, the message, because it comes from God's word, is addressed to us all. Nevertheless, please feel free to put yourself in whatever age category you desire. Just hear the word and take heed to it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you bow in prayer with me? God, we thank you for giving us all another day. And thank you for bringing us out here to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And right now, we need you, oh God, to do what only you can do, which is to minister this word to us. So, Lord God, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So, indeed, Father, speak to each one of us. Move me out of your people's way and move them out of my way so that you can have your way. And I ask even now, Lord God, that you set an angelic watch over every entry into this place, physical and spiritual. And I ask that you demonstrate to the powers of darkness that you are Lord here at the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. And there's no weapon formed against us that will prosper. Any tongue that rises up against us, we condemn it right now, because this is our heritage as your servants, and our righteousness is of you. Preach, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Now, it was so interesting. I had to talk to Minister Richardson about the fact that I'm late into the night. I still didn't have a title for the sermon. So early this morning, the Lord and I were up, you know, and so we played around with a few things. So seeing as how we're in this society, this is what he brought to my mind. 5 steps to being blessed and highly favored. And they're free. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, help us. They even have a bitmoji, blessed and highly favored. Don't let me go there, Lord. Let me stay here with you. Have you ever had the experience of walking with someone and it seemed you just couldn't keep up? Every so often, it seemed you had to run a little bit to get in step with them. I guess that's the way my daughter felt when she was a teenager walking with my mother and me. She said, "Y'all walk like y'all running." And I teased her and told her that the problem was that she walked like she was older than us. Or have you ever had an assignment, a job responsibility, or personal responsibility, or even a responsibility involving something at church, that you couldn't seem to keep up the pace that was needed to get that thing done? The clock seemed to be racing and you still had so much more to get done. Somehow you had allowed interruptions to get you out of step, so to speak, with all that you had to get done. And now you were behind. And that the right student said, "Been there, done that." Oh, amen. Our text today is Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Psalms. Of course, you got the gadget there. Just easy. Psalm 1. Not Psalms 1, but Psalm 1. The book is called Psalms, and each one is an individual psalm. Amen? Amen. So when I'm reading the scripture, I will say Psalm 46, Psalm 32. Praise Jesus. I beat that horse enough. Let's go. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. I will be reading from the NIV. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Praise you, Lord. Did I do that? And whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. We're going to read that again. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Here's your 5 steps. Praise Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The book of Psalms is divided into 5 sections known as books. So if you have a Bible with titles and you open up to Psalm 1, it's going to say Book 1 over top of that. And it's broken down into those sections. And each one closes with a benediction or a doxology. So Psalms 1 to 41 is Book 1. And then 42 to 72, book 2. 73 to 89, book 3. 90 to 106, book 4. And 107 to 150 is book 5. It is believed they were divided this way to imitate the fivefold division of the Torah, which is the first five books of our Bible. Our psalm today, obviously, is in book 1, which includes Psalms 1 through 47. Now, 37 of them, 37, are ascribed to David. And as you study at school, you'll learn that this doesn't mean that he wrote all of them. Some of them are about him, but you'll find that out when you come to Rice. Psalms 1, 2, 10, and 33 definitely were not written by David. And I don't care. You're going to see some sources that's going to say it's David, just like you see some people put that Hebrews was written by Paul. If God didn't say who wrote it, how arrogant are we to think we know? God chose not to let us know who the author of Hebrews is. There's a room full of his books that want to prove that Paul wrote it. Then there's a room full of his books that'll prove that he didn't write it. So the bottom line, what does it matter if it all came by the Holy Spirit? Amen. And instruction for us from God. Psalm 1 is our introduction to the book of Psalms. As one commentator puts it, it sets the stage for the entire collection by explaining that the study of the Word of God is the foundation of a meaningful, prosperous life. Anybody in here want to have a meaningful life? A prosperous life? It also declares the blessedness of the righteous and the misery and future of the wicked. So let's look at verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed means a lot of things. And you study and get into the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin and everything, but for our purposes today, we're going to stick with the simplest one the Lord gave me. When you come to Rice, you'll get into that a little deeper. Amen. Blessed means fortunate and favored by God. So if we want to be fortunate and favored by God, we are given clear instruction as to how that can happen. Nobody will be able to say, I didn't understand that. Blessed is the man, or is the one, the woman, the boy, the girl, who does not walk in step with the wicked. In step means walking at a specified pace with someone. It also means walking in agreement with someone or something. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So if we are walking with the wicked, then we are out of step with God. Oh, help us, Lord. Verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Notice the progression in the verse. First, one walks with the wicked, those who are morally bad and evil. And then next that one will find him or herself standing around at the water cooler with sinners, those who have not yet received the pardon for their sins. And then next, that person will sit down and become comfortable with mockers. One commentator says a mocker has an aggressive anti-God attitude. With shocking bravado, the mocker sits in judgment on God, recklessly mocking, ridiculing, and deriding biblical truth and morality. Somebody in here just found out how they got off track. Thank you, Lord. Are we still interested in living a blessed life? Being fortunate and favored by God? Then let's put verses 1 and 2 together. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Delight in the law of the Lord. What does it look like when we truly delight in the law of the Lord? Well, a brother by the name of Barry Kircherville helps us out here. He writes, and I quote, "Delight goes far beyond acceptance. It is not the idea of saying that we are willing to submit ourselves to God's law. Delight energetically embraces God's law because God's law is God. Delight shouts to the world about the wonder of God's law because it is better than the honeycomb, better than the best pleasure. It is what one cannot wait to enjoy. It is what one cannot do without." When speaking of God's word, Job said in 23:12, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And I was reminded of years ago when we were in the young adult Sunday school class, and Sister Cynthia Reed pointed out, because the class had an assignment to listen to Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll 3 times a week. And over time, she said, "You know what, Sister Carmina? It's gotten to the point now," because when she was living with her roommate, she wasn't Mrs. Reed then. And she said, "I had to tell her, I got to go. It's time for Charles Stanley." See, that was just an example of when we're delighting ourselves in God's word. We're willing to forego other things to get into God's word, whether it's written or ministered to us, or however it is. Amen? "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Oh, our commentary. See, sometimes you let other people do your work for you. I left that other word out. Praise you, Lord. One commentator, our commentator, continues, "Meditation is a challenge for our present culture, because we have lost the ability to give much attention for any length of time. Turn the sound off your TV for just 1 minute and time how often the screen changes. It will never be more than 2 seconds, and most of the time less." I mean, I had to go try this out. So I turned the TV on, and I was amazed how the screen keeps changing. But because we're listening to what the people are saying, the sound, we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention. "Young people cannot stand the old movies because the dialogue between two people is actually a conversation that goes beyond a one-liner." And you know what? I think we should look at TV a little more discerning now and notice how many of the shows that we like, they're all a bunch of one-liners. Wonder who's orchestrating this, making it so we're not able to focus anymore. And he's doing it with the generation that's younger than us. As we said, with them, the young people texting so much, a lot of them are losing the ability to have face-to-face conversations. See, nowadays you can apply for a job online, but eventually you're going to have to go there and meet somebody, and you're going to have to be able to talk to them, and you're going to have to be able to look them eye to eye. And our young generation is losing that ability. And what are we going to do about it? Help us, Lord. All of this going on with the TV, all of this with the texting, this has translated into a generation of people whose minds are often untrained in the ability to carefully and deeply consider matters that cannot be depicted on a screen or communicated in a 140-character tweet. Most ancient Hebrews had to rely on careful listening because they could not own a copy of the scriptures. And we have, how many Bibles do we have? Therefore, they meditated by remembering what they had heard from the reading and then thoughtfully reciting and pondering the word. When we tell somebody, oh, the pastor preached, the preacher preached, the guest minister preached, how much of what they preached can we tell them that they preached? I'm going to read that again. Most ancient Hebrews had to rely on careful listening because they could not own a copy of the scriptures. Remember when Ezra and Nehemiah, when the people stood up all day when the scriptures were read, they stood. We're sitting down. We're nodding and everything. But that's how important they thought the word was. They stood up for hours to hear the word of God. Oh, but I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Talk is cheap. Therefore, what the Hebrews did was they meditated by remembering what they had heard from the reading and then thoughtfully reciting and pondering the words. In so doing, they stored the words in their heart. As the psalm writer said in 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And as I had got that epiphany a couple months ago, I said, it's really interesting if you think about that verse and what it's saying. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So if I'm not hiding his word in my heart, the implication is that I want to keep sinning at the rate that I'm sinning. Oh, amen. I'll say amen. Amen. God did not reveal his mind, the brother says, mashed up into baby food and fed to us with a tiny spoon while the feeder says, choo, 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 here comes the train. Our personal search for God and our Bible study has to be better than that. Notice how often this meditation happens with the blessed person. It is not just certain occasions. It's day and night. This is not a mechanical, oh, I have to meditate exercise. Now, that does not mean that all we do all day long is read the Bible and think about it. Wait, somebody, y'all can say hallelujah. Y'all thought that's what I was saying, didn't they? What you're saying? No, we are to live our lives. But we are to allow God's word to be our guide in this life. When we realize that God's word is the key to this life, we will take it in and allow it to renew our minds. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jada's Red Table Talk. The Real Empire. Mr. Robot. The View. The Flash. Dear White People. Breaking Bad. Or any of the other offerings of Netflix. The Talk. Game of Thrones. Some of these TV shows I know and some of them I don't. The question for us is, are we allowing God's word to help us discern what we're watching? See, the trick is first to get us walking with them. Okay? The next thing will be standing with them, then sitting. And by that time, we will have become mockers of God. First Peter 5 warns us, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls about as a roaring lion, Seek him whom he may devour. He's the prince of the power of the air. Dare we say airwaves? We used to be under his domain. And he wants us back. Billy Graham said years ago, is the world changing you? Or are you changing the world? When Romans 12:2 says, for us to stop, to no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Everything starts in the mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the Greek, it actually means stop being conformed to the world. Stop being in step with it. Why are we dressing like the world? And then saying, hallelujah, Jesus. Why is it that in 1 Peter 3, when it talks about the women who are married to a man that's not saved, it says basically you can win them without a word. But this applies to all of us as sisters. It's saying, let it not be by the outward adorning of the braiding of the hair or the putting on of apparel. Somebody interpreted that wrong and thought they couldn't get the hair braided. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying, don't let it be you dressing all this up to get somebody, but let it be that hidden man in the heart. Let them see Jesus in you. Because I'm going to tell you something, my sisters. If you sit there and present the flesh and draw the man with your flesh, all you're going to get is a fleshly man. And I'm going to tell you how the world thinks about us in the church. Years ago, I was giving out tracts down there at St. Simon for the line of people waiting to get food. I was getting food from my aunt. And so I just went up to each person, and the easiest way to do it is like, good morning, are you saved? And start the conversation. So one brother, he just didn't even answer my question. He said, you know what? And this has been like early 50s or something. He said, you know, when I go to church, I ain't never asked him nothing about going to church. I asked him, man, was he saved, right? You know, when I go to church when I'm looking for a clean woman. And you know what I told him? And I know that. I said, that came from the throne room. You know, flesh and blood didn't give me that answer because I didn't think that fast. But I said to him, I said, oh, really? I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray and ask God that the next time you go to church looking for a clean woman, that you meet a woman looking for a clean man. Praise Jesus. And make no mistake about it, because we talked about it last Monday at our police chaplain meeting, about how the men in the world prey on the women in the church. Thank you. See, you just gave me my permission. I was looking for the Lord so I could say it. But unfortunately, my sisters, there's men that come through those doors that are preying on the women in the church. But because some of us say, my biological clock is ticking, so you just go for the okie-doke because he has some pants on. And then he uses you and then talks about you all around the church. I tell you, you got to start calling some of them, you uncircumcised Philistine. When they come to you approaching that, okay? Because as a brother said years ago when he was ministering to the young people at the Bible college, he said, love can wait. Lust can't. And see, some of us, we want to let Jesus be Lord, but we ain't never touched that little area because, you know, Lord, you gave me this high libido. You did it. It's your fault, Lord. That's why I can't, you know, I try to fight it, Lord. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But that's okay. God knows how to deal with all that stuff. Stop being in step with the world. In Romans 12:1, Paul begs the believers. He said, based on the last 11 chapters, because he said, therefore. So that means based on everything he said before, present yourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him. Read those first 11 chapters when you get home. I dare you. I love you, Jesus. You're deserving of more. Is he deserving of you reading 11 chapters before you go to bed? Oh, he woke me up this morning. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God. He woke me up. He woke me up. He woke me up. But I can't read 11 chapters before I go to bed. That's a little too much. What you talking about? It's Memorial Day weekend, girl. I got no time to read that. Praise Jesus. Young people, what is the end result of being in step with God? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. This is better than the Midas touch. You know, he said some of y'all young people, Lord, y'all got to help them Google that, honey. When you get home, the Midas touch. Because everything that Midas that he touched turned to gold, okay? But this is better than that, because all you got to do is just obey God's word, and everything you touch is going to prosper. That's what the word says. It says, and whatever they do prospers. The tree that's planted by streams of water will be very healthy, because it does not need to be watered unless it was a drought. But then again, it's still right there. Its roots go down deep, reaching toward the life-giving stream. As a result, it will yield its fruit at the proper season. The person who is like this tree, who allows their roots to go down deep into God's word, will find that whatever they do will prosper. Whatever they do, because they are going to be lined up with the will of God for their life. Hallelujah. And are we teaching our young people that God has a will for their life at their age, not when they become an adult? If they're 5, God's got a will for them. If they're 7, if they're 10, if they're 12. And it's not just on Youth Sunday. Are we teaching our children they can be filled with the Spirit? Ooh. Okay, Lord. Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we being filled constantly with the Spirit? So that in turn we can teach our children how to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. To help you, young person, to get started sinking your roots down deep into God's word, I'll give you a few verses just to get you started. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith and purity. J.B. Phillips said, an exemplary life ought to silence the most vociferous of critics. That's the loud one. Oh, huh, you ain't listening. That's that person. However, we know in 2018 that haters are going to hate. And notice, please, because, okay, Lord, you pointed that out. This is for young people, because Paul was ministering this to Timothy, and Timothy was probably in his late 30s. You got all these people saying all these different ages, but there's a little consensus that he probably was in his late 30s to early 40s when Paul wrote this to him. But Timothy is part of the pastoral epistles, and these are the ones that are used when it's talking about those who have the office in the church and talking about we as in the offices, because it specifically deals with deacons, and I guess deacons and deaconess, anybody who has that office, this applies to them. That you are to set an example for the rest of the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Praise you, Lord. I'm hanging out with you. You the one with the heaven. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Remember we our example of Joseph with Potiphar's wife? She wanted him because he was fine, and she trying to grab all on him and everything, and he ran out of his coat. He got out of there. That's what it's talking about. Run, okay? Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. If it's on something on that TV, and the way you run from it is you change the channel. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And remember, birds of a feather flock together. Oh, help us, Lord. I always say, if you know all the dirt, I won't look at nobody. If you know all the dirt going on in the church, then you need to check yourself, because if you're really walking with the Lord, they ain't going to come tell you that stuff. Because they know the first thing you're going to say is, well, did you pray about it? What'd you do? Or that's a shame. Instead, they say, what? Tell me more. Because then I'm going to start sitting. I'm walking, standing. What they say? What they do? Sit down, girl. I'm stop blaming on the women. Sit down, man. Oh, okay. Y'all don't know that men gossip too. Ain't that right, Brother Dami? Come on, let's tell the truth. Let's take the lid off of this thing here. We want to keep thinking it's women. Ah, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. It's not just women. It's human beings. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled, young person. Bad company corrupts good character. One translation said, bad people, if you hang around with them, soon you're going to be just like them. See, because always know this, whoever you're with, if you're not walking together in agreement, as Amos 3:3 says, you're each pulling, trying to pull the other one the other way. And somebody going to win. So you can't sit there and say, well, I'm just being with him because I'm trying to lead him to the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, so that's why I went to the club with him on Friday, because I got to show him I could be a Christian and go to the club and not get drunk or anything. I only had two beers, you know, okay? It's a setup. It's a setup, young people. And young people, please know this. When you are dating and you go to somebody, that girl's house, that boy's house, sit down and listen to what's going on in the conversation. Don't get caught up in that movie y'all watching. Watch the interaction between the parents or the lack thereof. See what's going on, because this is what this person is raised up with. And if it turns out that you marry them, they bringing that into the marriage. Oh, help us, Lord. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If you find there's so much stuff that you have to keep compromising with to be with that person, cut them loose. You're not supposed to lose yourself to be with somebody. God took the time to make you an individual, not for you to become codependent on somebody else. If you want to get lost in somebody, get lost in God, not a human being, because they're setting you up to abuse you. Men marry women knowing what they can do to them. I know somebody now that picked out a woman because he knew how he could treat her, because he knew her self-esteem was in the toilet, and she was so enamored with him, who he was, what he had, how much money he made, and all of this. And it's been over 45 years, I guess, that he has just been abusing her psychologically. Pay attention. How's he treating you? Does he open the car door? Don't be so liberated that you can open the door yourself. Let the brother open the door. Maybe you can Google etiquette for women and see what things that you should be doing. Amen? Oh, help us, Lord. Bad company corrupts good character. And there's a lot of people could tell you, and stop being so desperate to get married. Let the Lord be your husband. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. And if you wait on him, he'll bring you a man that's going to do you just as good as he will. Oh, hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. Help us, Lord. And get your focus off of getting married and get it on the Lord. And the next thing you know, God is going to say, baby, hold up. This is the one. Because you are wrapped up in God. But if you keep that thing as your focus, it has become an idol. Oh, help us, Lord. And then use some discernment. Oh, he goes to church. Is that it? What else does he do? Does he go to Bible study? If not on Wednesday, does he go to Sunday school on Sunday morning? Because that's Bible study. Does God ever enter the conversation? Does the Word of God ever enter the conversation? Does he even know John 3:16? He carrying that big Bible, weighing him down on one side. But he don't know nothing that's in it except his car keys that he put in the case. Y'all better stop playing. Everything in the church ain't in the church. Ain't in the body of Christ. I don't care what their title is. You have preachers that haven't been born again. Ecclesiastes 12:1. And you should read that whole chapter, especially you read it in the New Living Translation. It's awesome. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. And it talks about don't wait until your body gets all broken down, your teeth start falling out and everything, and then you're going to say, here come Jesus. I love you, Lord. What you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do, I do it for you. Or don't wait until you finally find that you do have one foot on the banana peel and the other one on the grave to finally say, Lord, what you want me to do? And we'll leave that one alone. Remember your creator in the days of your youth, when your mind is strong, when your body is strong, when you really can do all that you can do and be for the Lord. Don't be like so many. I'll tell you, there's not one person I know who got saved, and when they got saved, they didn't say at some point, I wish I had done this a long time ago. You don't have to live on that regret. You can do it now. I used to tell my children, because they were saved young, I said, you don't know how blessed you are. You can go to school with God. Now, God is not going to let you cheat on a test, okay? But he's going to help you study. Just like being in school at every level, you ask the Lord, because it's so much material to study. Am I right, Minister Lingham? It's so much. You got to say, God, what's going to be on the test? Help me to focus on what's going to be on the test. Okay. Won't he do it? Oh, hallelujah. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He's not giving you the answers. Let's not get it twisted, Brother Dami. But he will help you focus on what to study, because there's so much material. It's not like this, like at Rice, when we kind of give you, to let you know a little bit what's going to be on the test. It's not like that the higher up you go. You got all this stuff in the semester, and you got to study. You don't think it's good to know the Lord at a time like that? How many of us in here want to be blessed? I think that's all of us. The unknown psalmist gives us five qualifications. Here it is. In case you don't get the CD, in case it's not recorded right, in case it don't wind up on the podcast. Remember I said this is five steps to being blessed and highly favored. Right? They're right there in the verses. The unknown psalmist gives us five qualifications of the one who is blessed, which simply means the one who is happy, fortunate, and favored by God. Not 10, not 20, just only five. And just think about it. You don't have to buy another book to find out how to be blessed. Stop buying them books and read your Bible. I don't care who wrote it. I don't care who wrote it and put it out there. It's all taken from the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, help us, Lord. Here we go. Blessed and highly favored is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. You ain't gonna wear out. You can say, running for Jesus, I'm not tired, and you won't be tired. You'll be saying like me, he's renewing my youth like the eagles. And whatever they do prospers. Will you stand? Now, somebody in here may have come to spend the weekend, the holiday weekend, with their family, and they invited you to come to church, or somebody from the church invited you to come to church. And you heard about these five steps for being blessed and highly favored. But I have to give you a news flash right now. This only applies to believers. If you've never been born again, these blessings are not for you. At the end of the day, and trust me when I tell you, one day it is going to be the end of the day. The only thing that's going to matter is the security of your soul. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Not have you become some religious fanatic, but have you just said, Lord, I want you to come into my life and be my Savior and forgive me for all of my sins. And then after that, he's going to reveal himself to you and your life will never be the same. But if you're here today and you know that you've never done that, today's your day. Come on down the aisle. I'm not telling you to come to this church. You may be visiting, but you can give your soul to the Lord anywhere. So why not do it here? And then you can go to your grandmama's church or your cousin's church or wherever it is, if that's where the Lord leads you. But the bottom line is, if you're not saved, if you've never been born again, God's speaking to you. We say this is Youth Sunday. How many of you young people, under the age of 13, under the age of 20, under the age of 10, how many of you have given your life to the Lord? How many of you are saved today? How many of you said, well, I don't really understand all of that, but I do want to know? Like my grandson said when he was 5 years old, and he's here today and he's 19. Well, we were watching The Passion of the Christ. I said this before, and he came in the room, and he says, well, me, Mom, I want to be saved too, but I want to know, did it work? And I asked him, I said, did it work? Did what work? He said, well, you said he died for our sins, right? And he was five. I said, yes. He said, but he came back alive. He said, did it work? I says, oh, one of these days I'm going to tell you how well it did work. But young person, young in spirit, older person, baby boomer, Gen X, Gen Y, millennial, are you saved today? Are you saved today? Do you know that if this planet were to explode at 7:30 tonight, that you would be present with the Lord? If you don't know that, if you're not sure, come on down the aisle and give your life to the Lord. God said it's not his wish that any should perish without him, but that all shall come to repentance. Young person, let me tell you something. And I want you to hear me. And my young brother kind of rocking side to side. Please know this. And that's okay, because I do that too. God can keep you out of a whole lot of dumb stuff. He can keep you from making some big mistakes. But only if you invite him into your life. You don't have to wait until you get in trouble and say, God, will you get me out of this? You can be with him and not get in trouble. I remember we were in Bible college, and one of my young classmates, he felt some kind of way because he said he didn't have a testimony like so many people about what God got him out of, because he hadn't been on drugs. He hadn't done all these other things. I said, are you kidding me? You have an awesome testimony of what God kept you from. How many in here besides me would you have been saved when you was younger so God could have kept you from a whole bunch of dumb stuff? Young people, you see those hands up? Some of them you might see the hands of your family members. Because if we all tell the truth, we all wish we had knew the Lord and were living for him when we were younger. Don't let this time pass. If you're afraid to take that walk out in the aisle now, please know this. You don't have to be in church to give your life to the Lord. When you go home, you can sit with the parent or whoever you live with and say, I want to be saved. Can you help me? Show me? Pray with me? I want to be saved. And I'll tell you another thing. You can just simply say to God, God, I want to be saved. My prayer was, Lord, can't you just take my life and fix it? That was my prayer. So it's all about what's going on in your heart when you pray the prayer. But I pray that if there are any under the sound of my voice, no matter your age, if you have never been saved, I pray that when your head hits the pillow tonight, if you haven't already taken care of it, that the Spirit of the living God would give you an encounter right there on your bed with the fact that your soul is in jeopardy. Now, somebody else here, you are saved. But you kind of got off the track a little bit. You know, you was doing God, then you got to doing you. You had 1 foot in the church, you know, 1 foot in the church, you know. Then you had 2 feet in the church for a few weeks. Then you went back, 1 foot in the church, 1 foot. You started walking with the wrong folk, and then you came back to church. And then, you know, what you learned when you was walking with them started to be appealing to you, was drawing you. So next thing you know, you were hanging out with them a little extra. Couldn't come to church on Sunday. A little too hungover. And everybody wasn't hungover. Everybody wasn't in sin. It's not about being in sin. Some of us were in sin, yes. Some of us got caught up. And we need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what anybody thinks about you, honey, because none of them have a heaven or hell to put you in. But somebody here, you know, you are saved and you've been living for the Lord, but you got a little stagnated. You know, you just didn't have the same joy that you had before. You don't really know why, but something's just not the way it used to be. So you want to make a fresh commitment. Come on down the aisle and say, Lord, I want to make a fresh commitment. I want to go back to the days when I first met you, when I first was falling in love with you. Something has pulled my heart away from you, and I want you to put it back together. So if you just want to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, then you can come on and do that too. You know what's going on in your spirit right now. I keep telling you, don't worry about that person sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you. Don't worry about the title in front of your name. And the last call is for somebody. You're saved, you're walking with the Lord, but you don't have a church home. So if the Lord is nudging you this way to come and be a part of our fellowship, then come on down the aisle and do that. Because if you're here and he's leading you to become a part of this fellowship, that means your gifts are needed here. And you'll be a blessing to us, and in turn, God will bless us to be a blessing to you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord.
Church, can everybody please stand and remain standing for the offering litany? It's time to give.
Praise the Lord.
Has God been good to you?
The Lord is blessing us right now.
It's time to give our tithe.
The tithe belongs to the Lord because the Bible. Bible says a tithe from everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord.
How much should we give?
Let everyone be laid by his door, as God has promised him.
Why should we give? What percentage of my income is a tithe?
Abraham gave a tenth of all he had.
How should I give today?
God loves a cheerful giver.
How does God give to all